dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. A lot of stuff in the news this day and time about judges, and it's not good. There's no justice, maneuvering and manipulating and twisting and turning in order to benefit your ideas or your views or opinions or fill your pockets or whatever that might be. There's coming a judgment and a day when every man's work shall be tried. Every man, woman, every individual, they're going to be judged, they're going to be tried, and there's going to be justice at this judgment. And we're going to receive our deserved reward, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But it's for certain that we're going to be judged. Hebrews 9, verse number 27. Bible says, as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that's all men. None are accepted. Then Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of sinners, or in the congregation of the righteous. There's going to be a difference made. Today, our country seems to want to treat everybody the same. The wicked, treat them just as good as you do those that are not wicked. But listen, there's no justice in that. There's no benefit in that. But when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and at the white throne judgment, there will be justice. There will be equal reward, some for the good and some for the bad. These scriptures are addressing two different classes of people. The first is to the saved and the other to the unsaved. They'll not be judged at the same time. They'll not be judged at the same time. They'll not be judged with the same capacity. The sins of the saved will be grievous, but much less so than those of the unsaved. The scriptures teach that the thousand-year reign of Christ will separate these two judgments. So the works of God's children are going to be tried or put to a test. God will be the judge at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's no exceptions. Everyone will answer for the things that they have done in this old flesh. Everyone. Leaves no one out. And it will be judged righteously. It will be judged in justice. And there will be no influence to lessen the penalty for the sins that we've committed. There will be no making deals with God. You can't make a deal with God today, by the way. It's either his way or you don't go. No special pleasures, special privileges. No respecter of person as far as the Lord is concerned. And there will certainly not be any in this judgment. This will be judgment of the believer's works, not of their soul. In other words, their soul is saved in this life. That judgment is resolved there in this life. But the works are not for salvation, as the Bible clearly presents. But the works that we do after that we're saved, we're going to be judged for. And by the way, the idea that those who are saved are perfect and are the special chosen of God and above everything and above answering for sin, this judgment will show that that's not the case. And brother, we need not to get lifted up in ourselves as to who we are by the grace of God as children of God, but we should humble ourselves as Jesus did and carry out his work and his will in our lives in the same manner that he did. This will be a test of obedience to the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So it'll be a judgment and a test as to how that we contended for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Did you know as a church we'll be judged? As individuals in the church, we will be judged as to how we stand for, how we contend for, and defend the faith once delivered to the saints. And by the way, presenting that faith, that system of doctrine and practice to the outside world is just as important as us obtaining and retaining it ourselves and teaching it to one another. A test of obedience, of loyalty to Christ, and in obedience in particular to his word. This judgment of believers will determine their rewards. Reward is a recompense for work done. Look at Revelation 22 and verse number 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." The reward is according to the works, according to the work that he performs, and it'll be according to the quantity. You know, we think we do a good work for the Lord, we're all done. We're caught up. Never caught up. That's why I say that our living for the Lord is a way of life and not something that we do from time to time or any specific time as far as that goes. We're always in the service of the Lord, particularly as a member of a New Testament church. We don't just serve him. Matter of fact, we don't serve him on Sunday. We worship him. And we don't come to church to serve him. We come to church to worship, to get recharged, to get refueled, so that then we can go out and serve him. We go out to serve. And as the saying has gone, we come in to worship, but go out to serve. Some will not have any reward because they're not willing to abide by the word. They're not willing to live the life. They're not willing to sacrifice. And again, if we don't sacrifice, there's no blessings spiritually that will come from whatever that we labor and we do. We say we love the Lord. Well, then we're going to sacrifice for the Lord. We say we love the church, then we're going to sacrifice for the church. We say we love one another in the church, then we're going to sacrifice for one another. We're going to put ourselves out. We're going to deny ourselves. And we're going to take up our cross and follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's the qualification for being his disciple. And disciples of Christ are those who are going to receive the reward. There'll be some, however, unfortunately, that there will be no reward. There are many rewards that are mentioned in the Bible. And first one is a prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 14. The prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14, the Bible says, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The high calling of God, being obedient and submissive to that call, surrendering our lives and submitting and making our lives truly useful, it brings a prize to us in this as it did Paul. Now, so it brings, there's the reward of inheritance in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Colossians 3, 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward, the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You're going to receive reward if you do what the Lord would have us to do, and we're going to suffer loss if we don't do it. And so you can either gain or you can lose reward. Again, the judgment seat of Christ is not to judge whether or not they're going to go to hell or go to heaven. It is whether or not those that are born again by the grace of God and saved eternally and forevermore receive a reward to have. And by the way, these rewards will be eternal and everlasting. Things here are just temporal. But when we get to this place, then it's going to be eternal. There's prize of the high calling in Christ. There's the reward of inheritance. There's the heirs of the kingdom. Look at James 2 and verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Heirs of the kingdom. Then look at John the 14th chapter and verse 15. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, he chose us in the condition that we're in. He chose not the beautiful or the magnificent or the wonderful or the talented or the great, but he chose the simple, he said, to confound the wise. He chose those who could humble themselves and overcome the flesh. And so he's promised a reward for them as well, that they would be heirs in the kingdom of God. And John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then there's a crown of life. In James 1, verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And again, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you really love the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. That's going to be your desire. That's going to be the drive in your life, is to be obedient and submissive and seek to do the will of the Lord. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Then John 14 and 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, think about it. He'll make his abode with us. He promised to never leave us or forsake us, always to be with us. Those that have repented of their sins and by faith trusted Christ as Savior, those who have submitted and surrendered. And he said that he and the Father will be with them and will never, never forsake or leave them, never let them down. You say, but listen, people get sick and suffer. Well, because of sin, they get sick and suffer. It's not God's fault. It's not him doing it to them either. He said, well, he could stop it. Yeah. Mankind could stop what they're doing too and turn to him, but they won't. So how can he turn to them in the condition that they're in if they'll not submit and surrender? How can God use us, and how can we receive a reward if we don't submit and let him use us? If we don't live by faith, and most of the time we do not live by faith. We live by sight. We got to figure out how to get it done in order to accomplish it. Well, sometimes you just don't need to figure out how to get it done. Just be willing to do anything and everything that needs to be done, and then let him take care of it. And he will, and you'll come out on top every time. The crown of righteousness. We have the prize of the high calling. We have the reward of inheritance. We have heirs of the kingdom. We have the crown of life. And we have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the incorruptible crown. And so, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Then the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 5 and 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then the incorruptible crown," 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." And I'm persuaded, as we read in Revelation concerning the multitude that are there and concerning those crying out that he's worthy and those that are there laying the crowns at the feet of Jesus, I'm persuaded that this incorruptible crown will be that crown that one earns and lays at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be without a crown in that day. I can't think of anything else more horrible than to stand there before him empty-handed with nothing to show for this life. Nothing to tell him how much I love him. Nothing to tell him how much I really appreciate the great sacrifice and suffering that he went through to save my soul. And you should strive for this crown, that you too may lay it at the feet of Jesus. Because you talk about being heartbroken, you talk about being sorrowful. I'll tell you, knowing what the Bible teaches about our changed hearts, to stand there without a crown to lay at his feet and to show him how much we appreciate what he's done is going to be a horrible thing to go through. There's also, again, the judgment of the unbeliever, the judgment of the unsaved. He's judged for his works. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20 and verse number 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." This judgment is called great. It is a throne of eternal justice. Eternally, those who are wicked and rejected Christ, those who trampled his blood underfoot, those who despised and rejected him, eternal justice will be done when they are condemned to the fires and flames of this place called hell. It's a throne of eternal justice. It's not a human court. As we know how fallible these courts are in our day. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Those unsaved are going to be. They have no works of righteousness. They have nothing that they can offer God. They're empty-handed, and they're going to remain that way eternally and forevermore. Here, records are examined. Look at Revelation 20. In verse 12, again. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Records that are kept. God keeps records. And those records are going to be brought forth at this judgment seat. Look at Daniel 7 and verse number 10. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10. "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Those books are none less than the 66 books of the Bible, the Word of God. And every man is going to be judged out of those books. The saved at the judgment seat of Christ and the unsaved. It's like a test that God is going to give. And he's given us the answers to the test in his word. And if we will study and search and hide it in our heart and live according to the precepts that are set forth in it, then when we stand before him, we'll pass the test. If we don't, if we disregard God's word or treat it lightly in any way, then we will answer to him at that place. We'll answer and we'll be without excuse, because there's no excuse for denying the word of God. There's no excuse whatever to be found. At this judgment, the sinner receives the final sentence for the condemnation already passed on him. The sinner stands condemned. Condemned already. John 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Now that's you believe with your heart, according to the Spirit through Paul to the church at Rome. You got to believe with your heart in order to be saved. "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." Now just to acknowledge God intellectually or in the mind and not in the heart, just acknowledge him and not trusting him and what he's done, not believing that he's the only way in order to be saved and that what he did paid the penalty for your sins, is going to get you standing before this judgment without excuse. Because you'll be judged by the precepts of the Bible and how that you stand according to them, how that you have done, how that you carried out, how that you responded or received the admonitions and the teachings of the Word of God. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." That's why this white throne judgment is the judgment of the condemned. They're not going to be condemned at the white throne judgment. They're already condemned. And they're condemned because he has not believed the Word of God. Because the Word of God is that which testifies of Jesus Christ. That's where we find him. "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why one's condemned. Oh, we're condemned because we're sinners. No, we're condemned because we refuse to believe in and trust in Jesus Christ. We're sent to hell because we're sinners. No, we're sent to hell because we refuse to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And listen, there is a difference between acknowledging him and truly trusting him to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
The sinner is sentenced to the lake of fire at this judgment. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, where that one is recorded when they repent and by faith trust Jesus as their Savior. If you're not found written there, you'll be here at this judgment and stand under this condemnation and be sentenced to the lake of fire. No question, no excuse about it. Look at Matthew 23, beginning with verse number 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. There's an example of what we're talking about earlier. And that is, it has to be with the heart. It can't be intellectually. If it's intellectually, you're pretending. You don't possess, you don't have it, you're pretending. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Religion doesn't get you to heaven. Religion doesn't prepare you for the judgment that we're all appointed to. Religion won't do it. It takes that heart. It takes that receiving. It takes that accepting. It takes that believing and trusting. Trusting what? Trusting the Word of God. If you trust the Word of God, you'll trust Jesus. If you don't trust it, then you're being foolish, whoever you are. And listen, substituting man's religion and man's views and opinions and ideas about things, it's foolish. In essence, all of that is saying there is no God, basically. And the Bible says you're a fool if you do that. And I know the Lord wouldn't want you to be foolish, nor would we. Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and receiving that he had answered them well, ask him which is the first commandment of all. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And 31 says, And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. If you don't know how to love, if you're not able to love your neighbor as yourself, then you don't love the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, and strength, as this commands us to do. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all of the understanding and with all of the soul and with all the strength to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's worth more than all that you could sacrifice on your behalf. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of God? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yes. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. There are differences in degrees of rewards in heaven. There are also differences in degrees of punishments in hell, as this verse confirms and verifies. The question this morning is which judgment are you going to be in? Because it's certain you're going to be judged. It's pointed out to men wants to die. After this, the judgment. And yes, there is an after this. There's an after this life. Man is an eternal being made in the image and likeness of God, and he shall exist eternally. Some in abundant life and some in torment and punishment forevermore. The question is, where are you going to be? What makes the difference? Jesus. Jesus and what he has done is what will make that difference. When you will really truly believe and trust in him, he'll save your soul. And when he does, it's saved eternally and forevermore. You may backslide, you may get in trouble, you may suffer, but you'll suffer in this flesh. You won't have a reward in eternity if you die in that condition. But you will have eternal life. And what a great blessing that is in itself. But God loves us so much, he doesn't want us to just have that blessing. He wants us to be abundantly blessed. And yet, we grieve him all the time because we fall so short. Let this flesh rule. Brethren, don't let it rule. Stay in the Word. Stay on your knees. Keep yourself from the world and the sinful lusts of the flesh. And strive always to please God. Show him that you love him and praise him and thank him, because he deserves it. Let's stand. What shall we sing?
397.
If you're here this morning and there's any question or any doubt about what judgment you're going to stand in, I encourage you to come to Jesus, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him. Come to him. If you have sin in your life that you haven't taken care of, come repenting of that sin and come confessing that sin so he can be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness.